Amen. So, great. Well, let's, if you have your Bibles today, if you would, go ahead and open the Word of God to Psalms 23. Several weeks ago, we talked as we looked at 1 Peter, that study of 1 Peter and that letter that he wrote to the churches that were sort of spread abroad. He mentioned something in there about the Good Shepherd, where he talks to, in chapter 3, he talks to the elders of the church. He talks to the elders and tells them that they need to be good shepherds. And the question came up, and that message was, well, what is a good shepherd, and who are we? Or what are we supposed to be as the church, as the sheep? And so God put it upon my heart to look at the 23rd Psalms. So we're going to take a look over the next several weeks at the 23rd Psalms, because I believe that that psalm, there is so much truth packed in. I think sometimes we read it and we sort of overlook what God is trying to tell us. So open up to the 23rd Psalm, and if you want to jump ahead with us this morning and sort of get a jump on things, you can also turn to John chapter 10. But before we do, I want to just give something funny today. I got up on the wrong side of the bed, so I need to cheer myself up this morning, okay? So let me give you something funny today. An elderly lady was well known for her faith and her boldness about talking about it. How many of you are that way, right? You're bold, not elderly ladies. I mean, as people, right? Right? So, Steve says, no, I'm not an elderly lady. Boldness in her faith, and she didn't mind talking about it. She would stand on her front porch, and she would shout every morning, praise the Lord! How many of you do that every morning, right? Do you walk out your back door and shout, praise the Lord? No, I didn't think so. Okay. Next door to her, here's probably why. Next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her proclamations, he would shout, there ain't no Lord. So this must be down in the South, right? Ain't. So hard times set on to this lady, and she prayed for God to send her some assistance. She stood on her porch, and she shouted, praise the Lord. God, I need food. I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries. I have prayed that prayer before as a younger man. The next morning, the lady went out on her porch and she saw a large bag of groceries and shouted, praise the Lord. The neighbor jumped from behind a bush and said, ha ha, I told you there ain't no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't do it. The lady started jumping up and down and clapping her hands and shouting, saying, praise the Lord. Not only did God send me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them. Amen. I like that one. That one made me laugh, too. So, like we said, over the next several weeks, we're going to take a look at these six verses and these 119 words of the 23rd Psalm. We're going to read them, and we're going to take them phrase by phrase. Because in the midst of this psalm are some very profound truths that we're going to find. Some of the most profound truths you will ever find in the Bible are written right here in the 23rd Psalms. It's the story of the great shepherd taking care of his sheep. Psalm 23 is more intimately than any other place in the Bible does it talk about the relationship that God wants to have with us. He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. Amen? So we read that a couple of weeks ago. I want to take a moment and read that again. So if we've got that up here, let's put that song. Let's read that together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you today that we can study your word. Lord, as your servant, Father, I stand here today. Help me, Father, as I preach the word today to bring life to the words that are written on the paper. These were not just written for the sake of reading, but to come alive into our lives. I pray, God, they would come alive today in our hearts as we study. What a powerful and poetic expression of God's love that's in these six verses. Don't you agree? Many people, when they go through difficult times, they go straight to the 23rd Psalms, right? Most of you today could probably have quoted that psalm without even looking at the screen, right? I would ask for a show of hands, but we won't do that this morning. But when something's going on in our life, sometimes we like to go to the Bible. That's one of the first places we go. And believe it or not, those who are not Christ followers, when they're going through a hard time and they're looking and searching for hope, guess where they're going to go? If they ever open the Bible, they'll go to one of two scriptures, John 3:16, or they'll go to the 23rd Psalms. This psalm is used at weddings, it's used at funerals, when times are bad, when you get ready to prepare for an exam. As I know, is school getting ready, right, kids? School's about to start up. They're like, ah, bad pastor. School's going to be starting up soon. Sometimes before you take that exam, you'll go to the 23rd Psalm. This passage, most everyone can quote. And most of us today know it by heart. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the 22nd Psalms? Have you ever moved over there a few pages and read it? If you haven't, let me read it to you, because it seems like in the 23rd Psalms, as David is writing, he's got everything together. He's got it all together. He knows who he is. He knows who God is. He knows who his shepherd is. He knows these great truths about God. But if we look over in the 22nd Psalm, we read this. And if you want to read these few verses with me, it goes like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? It says, why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? And then we know later on he writes the 23rd Psalm. How many of you have had a good day and a bad day? Right? Just think about yourself a second. You wake up and you're just having the most rotten, awful day. You want to, instead of going out and shouting on the back porch, you're saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? How many of you have had those days? David had that day. As we read the 23rd Psalms, he's got it all together, but he's having that good day, bad day experience. Let me tell you what that is before you get afraid, all right? We have internet and phone service in the building now. All right, so there's a phone out back. So if that's your cell phone, please turn that off. If that's the church phone, somebody go take it real quick. Maybe somebody's looking for directions to church today. We can help them out, all right? Because the 23rd Psalm is where we all want to live, don't we? We want to live at that place. That's where we want to be. But the truth is that many of us have as many Psalms 22 days as we have Psalm 23 days. Can I get an amen? Amen. But what we need to understand here is that even though these are the words of the Holy Spirit to us, they were written by a human being. They were written by someone whose humanity is not hidden from us. And David, as he writes this, think about it. He's just like you and he's just like me as he's writing the 22nd Psalms as well as he's writing the 23rd Psalms. He had a lot of responsibility. In our world today, we overload ourselves with responsibility. I had to come home from vacation and take a break from vacation. Right? And then I'll go look at my desk and I got things piled up this high on my desk. I got so much responsibility. The calendar is full. There's no time in the day. So he probably had a full schedule as well. Matter of fact, here's one. He had many wives. So you know his life was probably a mess right there, right? Look, I can hardly take care of the one that I've got, much less if I had more than one. Thank the Lord I only have one wife. And I only believe you're supposed to have one wife, by the way, if you're sitting there saying, I wonder what they believe over there. Nope. One man, one woman. I didn't write that down, Wes, and he had a big nation to run. So I'm pretty sure that David had some good days and David had some bad days. And the point is that David had this revelation of God's love, this revelation of this relationship that God wants with you, that God wants with me, that God wanted with him. And what's great is that David's humanity, as we read the Bible, we know that David's humanity was never hidden from us. We know most of the patriarchs that we read and the stories we read, their humanity was never hidden. Let me give you some examples of what David was known for in all of his humanity. He was an adulterer. He was a liar. He was a murderer. He was a deceiver. And yet the reason that God, I think, has such a special place in his heart for David, because no matter what David was going through, no matter where David's life ended up, he always seemed to turn back toward God. That in itself today, if you can grab that truth today, that no matter what, David was called a man after God's own heart. If you look and read his life was probably much like many of our lives, just filled with turmoil in one day and great joys the next. But one thing that David has figured out, One thing he figured out is that no matter what I'm going through, no matter where I'm at in my life, no matter what big mistake that I've made, no matter what lie I've ever told, I can always turn my heart back to God. Reminds me of the story. Let me chase this rabbit for a second. You remember the story of when David, he saw Bathsheba. He was supposed to be out with his army fighting, but he decided he wanted to stay home. Complacency and laziness fed into his life. Remember when we talked about what Peter said about that? He said, that's the feast for the lions. When you allow laziness and complacency, that's where he was. And the enemy grabbed him. And when Nathan came and began to tell him this story about a sheep, was sheep, David must knew a lot about sheep, tells him a story about this little lamb that was taken from a man who only had one. This gentleman who was rich had many, but he took the one, the only one he had, and he took it and he made a feast with that one from the man who had one. And as David is hearing this story unfold, he says, well, hey, bring him before me so I can judge him. And Nathan says, that man is you. What was the first thing that David did? The very first thing that he did. He didn't try to justify his actions. He didn't try to come up with an excuse of why he had to do it. He didn't come up with some agenda that drove him to where he was. The first thing he did was he fell down upon his knees. He fell upon his face. He began to repent. He turned his heart back to God. So when he writes the 23rd Psalm, we know this is a man in all of his humanity. That he had this passion. He had a passion for worship. And God honored that. How many of us want God to honor what we do? He honored it. And despite the weaknesses, God loved David's heart because David loved him. So today we're going to look at these first five words of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Say that with me this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. These are the first five words of this psalm. And David uses these words for a reason. And I believe that God's word is given to us by the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing that is written there that's by chance. Everything that is written in God's word, the way it was written and how it was written for you, and it was written for me for a purpose. God doesn't just write words out for the sake of writing them. They have meaning. And we need to apply those to our life and allow those to come alive. And these first five words, the Lord is my shepherd, is full of profound truth. It may sound simple, but I hope this morning you can grab a hold of what it really means, because it'll change your life. If you want your life to change today, you grab a hold of these first five words of this psalm and you apply them to your life. The rest of the psalm is a list of promises, of attributes of God, this relationship that he has with us. It's the relationship between us and God. But if we don't get those first five words today, and if we don't answer two very important questions, there they are. You're waiting for my questions, right? If we don't answer two very important questions today, we're not going to be able to receive anything else that is written in the 23rd Psalm. You see, David knew something about sheep. He knew something about shepherding. You remember the story when Samuel came to anoint the king of Israel? He went to the home of Jesse. He said, bring your sons to me. And he brought his sons. They all stood before the prophet. Samuel went down and looked. Each one waiting for the Lord to tell him, which one am I going to anoint to be the king? He goes to the first one. He goes, no, that's not the one. This one, no, 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 no. All the way down the line, he says, no. He says, do you have another son? Jesse says, yes, I have another son. He's in the field watching the sheep. So here David, this young boy, he was in the field. We know what was going on out there. He was taking care of the sheep for his father. His father had the sheep. His responsibility was to take care of them. So when the bear came, what did he do? Grabbed him by the beard and smote him down. When the lion came, what did he do? He grabbed him by the ear. It said he chased him down, grabbed him by the beard, and it said he beat him. In other words, he destroyed him. He killed him. He knew what it meant to protect the sheep. He knew what it meant to be a shepherd because his dad was a shepherd. And he was a shepherd later in his life. And then he became the king who would be known as what? The shepherd king of Israel. So the truth is that David understood sheep, he understood shepherding, and he understood what that meant. He also understood that in the natural world, the relationship between a sheep and the shepherd was a type and shadow of the relationship that God wants to have with you and God wants to have with me here upon this earth. So David, he writes this 23rd Psalm and he says these words, the Lord is my shepherd. So today I want us to do this. See, David answered two very important questions. in his heart, and he came to his conclusion of these two questions. He answered them. I want us to see these questions today, and I want us to answer them today. Are you ready? So you got something to write it down? Please write this down. Here's the first question, right? Am I a sheep? Right? You probably laugh, right? That's pretty simple. That's quite a question. Am I a sheep? Are you a sheep today? Let me see the sheep out there, right? Am I a sheep? No, Pastor, I'm not a sheep. I'm a lion. I'm an eagle. I'm soaring. I'm not a sheep. What do you mean? Sheep are stupid. Well, I don't know of any shepherds that shepherd over eagles. I don't know of any shepherds that shepherd over lions. I know they're captured and put in a cage and escape. Because if you're not a sheep, you don't need a shepherd. And that's the question that we have to answer today. We have to first understand and come to grips in our life, in your life, in my life. We've got to make up our mind today, am I a sheep or not? So of all the classes of livestock you can own, right, sheep, let me give you some statistics here. Sheep are the most high maintenance. So listen to this. They're the most prone to parasites. And I've seen some pictures too, right, that if they don't, you know, what do they call that when they cut the wool off? What's that word? Shoe, show. Okay, that's it. You got it, right? They cut that wool off. They don't. I have seen pictures of sheep, right? They have their whole face has been covered in this wool. They have no way to cut it off themselves unless they rub against a rock or something. I don't know, right? They're afraid of everything, right? I growing up in Mississippi, there were goat farmers and there were sheep farmers. I like goats. Goats are funny. They're funny animals. You start looking at a goat, they'll make you laugh. The sheep, right, they're scared of everything. You drive by, honk your horn, you yell real loud or whatever, they're scattered, they're running. They're running for their lives. Here's another great fact. They are not burden-bearing animals. Have you ever heard of a pack sheep? No? Heard of a pack mule or a pack horse? They're not a burden-bearing animal. They have no means to defend themselves. They're really pathetic creatures. Matter of fact, they really need a shepherd. Pastor, you ask me if I'm a sheep after all that? Stay with me. It gets better. They can't find food and water on their own. They can't protect themselves, right? So who wants to be a sheep, right? Who wants to be a sheep? No, Pastor, not me. I'd rather be called lions and tigers and eagles and maybe a pack mule, maybe. I don't know. We would rather be called those noble, powerful, strong animals, but not a sheep. Yet throughout the Bible, from Psalms all the way to the New Testament, God calls himself the shepherd, and what does he call us? He calls us his sheep. Now here's why. Here's why he calls us a sheep and not an eagle. This is why he calls himself our shepherd. It's that God wants as much input into our lives as possible. That's the truth we have to walk away with today. He wants complete input into your life. So the question that goes, am I a sheep, should really be, God, am I allowing you to have complete input into my life at every moment of every day? Am I completely dependent upon you? Because that's what his desire is. Am I a sheep? Let me read you a news article here from New Zealand, an article from the New Zealand Newswire. Rogue sheep have been spotted around town. This is a town down in New Zealand where we know there's more sheep than there are people, right? More sheep than there are. It says, rogue sheep have been spotted around town, snarling at innocent bystanders, tipping over trash cans, and chasing small pets. So keep your small dogs away, okay, because they'll get them. Police have warned residents to avoid these ferocious flocks because they are extremely irritable. All right, think about this now. Police say the sheep are armed with four dull hooves and a set of teeth designed only for gnawing. Death by sheep attack would be slow and painful, actually taking weeks or months for them to eventually kill you. Residents are advised that sheep are normally slow, not able to overtake a person unless a person is lying down, asleep, or on crutches. Police believe these attacks will eventually end, citing evidence that sheep are easily lost, distracted, and unable to find food or water on their own. They're also easy prey for predators, so police believe that if sheep are left to themselves, they will become extinct and pose no future problems for the people in the city. That's not a real article, by the way. I borrowed that from another pastor. So, but you get the point, right? Are we a sheep? So none of us want to be sheep. Humanity. All of us in the beginning of human history have fought the idea that we are sheep. In the book of Genesis, if you got your Bible, turn to Genesis 11. There's a story I want to tell you in the book of Genesis. It's a wrestling match in the human soul. It was a wrestling match in the human heart. If we can't get past the question of am I a sheep and answer that question yes, then we're not going to be able to receive the promises that God has for us. Listen, we don't have an equal partnership with God. You know that, right? There is not an equal partnership. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. Here's a story of the Tower of Babel. Many of you know this story. Genesis 11. It's a story of the early human race. They all spoke the same language. But they came up with this great idea. They said, let's build a huge building that will go up all the way into the sky as high as we can build it. And if we can get closer to God, if we can build this thing as high as we can and get as close to God as possible, maybe we don't need Him as much. So they started building this building. It was the Tower of Babel. In Genesis 11, chapter 4, let us look at the description of the people who are writing. The people who are building, these are the ones who are building this tower. Here's a description of who they are. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole world or the whole earth. So they were trying to be a people that were self-reliant. I used to think of myself as being, you know, someone who's self-reliant. You know, I want to be able to have a garden and produce all the vegetables I need. I want to be able to learn how to hunt and take care of myself. I want to make sure I got plenty of generators at the house. I want to be able to take care of me and my family if things go bad. So I used to use the word, yeah, I'm pretty self-reliant. That's the word I used to call myself. But as I begin to read the 23rd Psalm and look at the definition of a sheep, I realized right away, God is not looking for me to be self-reliant. Let me tell you what the definition of self-reliance is. Here's my definition. It's simply the worship of ourselves. That's what they were doing in this story here in Genesis. Is that they were worshiping themselves because they felt that if they could get as high as they could in this tower, this building, they didn't need God anymore. So who are they going to worship? If you're not worshiping God, guess who you're worshiping? You're worshiping yourself. There's only two types of worship. The worship of God or the worship of yourself. Well, they worshiped idols. Yes, they worshiped idols, but that's really a self-worship. They were worshiping their own self, their own hands. It's easy to worship sometimes our own strength, our own talents, our own abilities, while calling yourself a follower of Christ. And self-reliance may very well be the biggest enemy of our Christian faith in America today, because we consider ourselves to be pretty self-reliant. You know, I have skills, I have talents, I have abilities. You're the same. Each one of us are gifted the abilities and talents and skills that God has given us. And He's given us those talents and given us those skills and those abilities so that we can bless God. We can bless Him and we can help build His kingdom. But at the same time, those skills and those talents can take the place of God. Let me say that again. I'll make sure you grab it this morning. Sometimes those gifts, those talents, and those abilities can take the place of God. Thank you. You're awake. I'm glad. So your abilities, your strengths, your talents, God's given to you for a reason. That's why it's hard for us to think of ourselves, right, as sheep. So I asked the question before, right, am I a sheep? I'm not a sheep. I'm a lion. I'm a tiger. No, I am a sheep. And by admitting that I am a sheep, and today of us admitting that we are sheep, we get access to all of God. And if I don't admit that I am a sheep, guess what? We don't have a shepherd. You see, I've understood that and learned to understand that more because being from the South and growing up on a farm, you learn to be sort of self-reliant. You learn to try to take care of things yourself, do things on your own. I know there's a time in my life where I thought I could. And I didn't go to God when I needed to. I wasn't out there on the back of my porch screaming at the top of my lungs, right? Praise the Lord. Lord, I need. Lord, please provide those things that I need. My reliance is upon You. Matter of fact, here's one. We had a great time of worship today, right? Do you think it's possible for us to sing songs about God and worship ourselves? I don't think so. Martin Luther said 500 years ago, he said, most Christians don't tell lies, they sing them. If we're going to sing about God is my strength, God is my hope, when something goes bad, when things go tough, where are you going? Are you relying on your own strength? Are you relying upon God? Are you a sheep and he is the shepherd? I've struggled with that. I'm being transparent this morning. I've struggled with that in my life. But God showed me something as I began to read and study and really in some of the most darkest moments of my life. Some of those times where I've had to make certain moves and do things that I knew. Us moving to Mississippi was one of those moments in those times. We moved from here down to Mississippi with no job, no place to live, hardly any money in the bank account, and the truck was already packed. And Steve was there to help me pack it. So I don't know if he was glad I was leaving or he was sad. He was there to help me pack the truck. But that was one of those moments when I began to say, what am I doing, God? I know you put this on my heart, but it looks ahead of me as if there's nothing. I have nothing. And it was in that moment that God taught me that I must have put my dependency upon him, not the job. My dependency needs to be upon him, not my skills, talents, and abilities. And that's not to say that we're not supposed to do what we're supposed to do, right? God's given you hands to work, you work. Matter of fact, I think that sounds like a good sermon series about work. Some of the young teenagers said, no, I don't want to hear that one. But it was in that moment I began to trust God more than I had ever trusted him before. And the more I began to trust him and do what he called me to do and move in the direction because here he was, the shepherd, because the sheep know the shepherd's voice, don't they? When the shepherd calls, the sheep hear him and the sheep follow. So if the sheep have gotten scattered, all the shepherd needs to do is call out to the sheep. They hear and they know that if they come running to the shepherd, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be led to green pastures. They're going to be given food to eat. They're going to be water to drink. They're led where they need to be. They're going to be protected. The Lord took me to a scripture in James chapter 4 when I was struggling at this moment in my life. He takes me here to this scripture. And I learned to pray this. I prayed over myself at that moment in my life. I prayed over my family. And let me tell you now, when I finally got a hold of this and understood what this means and began to apply this to my life, God did some things while we were in Mississippi that he would have never done anywhere else. Let me tell you what he did. While I was in Mississippi, I became debt free because God gave me a job I had never expected to do, something I had never done before, right? I was in the military, the Air Force. That's what I knew. I knew about I was a spy. That's what I did. That's all you need to know. That's what I did in the Air Force. The military, I knew it. It was good. I understood it. God removed me. Then I tried some other things. I even tried some electrical work. Steve helped me out. Tried some carpentry work. Pretty decent at it. Right? I learned to put my hands to the work. But God took me to a place as I began to trust him and depend upon him. He gave me a job of something I'd never done before. In the oil business. Designing oil fields, had no clue what I was doing, but I was putting pencil to paper and I was turning paper in and they were looking at it going, wow, do you have a degree in chemical engineering? I got no degree in nothing. I can build you an office and a toilet over here if you need it, a bathroom. That's where'd you learn that? You know what I told them? I just prayed. God showed me how to put it all together. That was God working through my life. This was something amazing that happened to me. God changed me and I was able to work and make more money than I ever made in my entire life, including being a senior pastor, by the way, right? I'd ever made in my entire life, and God says, now this is what I want you to do. I was able to pay off every bill I had. I was able to save money. So when God says, okay, now it's time for you to go back to New England. What? This is good. Things are going great. Why are you sending me now? They gave me a truck and a big truck. I like big trucks. Dave, I like big trucks. I got a little one. But he said, now it's time to go back. You've done what you came here to do. You are trusting me more than you've ever trusted before. Now it's time to go back. So when we came back to New England, I was able to buy a house with a great down payment, no debts. That was because God, I listened to his voice. And when he called, I listened. When he called, I went. When he said, I did it. And James, it says here, this is what God took me to. I know I chased that for a second. He says this in verse 10 of James chapter 4. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. In other words, when you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependency upon him, the shepherd, he will lift you up, and he will give you honor. something happens in our hearts when we bow our hearts to Him. Even when we go to a point where we do this sometimes, we begin to bow before the Lord. Something happens. Something happens in the physical when you bow yourself before Him. And when it happens in the physical, it grabs a hold of your heart. And that's what He's saying here. He says, humble yourself. See, God wants our hearts to bow before Him. He wants our thoughts to bow before Him. But you know what? Some of us, like myself, we like the honor. We like to be honored more than we're being honored. We want to be lifted up maybe more than we're being lifted up. If you want to be honored, if you want to be lifted up, then bow yourself before God. Tell the Lord that you are His sheep. Tell Him that you admit your absolute dependence upon Him, that you are my shepherd. And that's a question we need to answer today. That's that first question, am I a shepherd? And this is the question that David answered right up front. Before he begins to talk even more in this Psalm 23, he answers this question in his life, in his heart. He answered this question. He says, I am a sheep and He, the great shepherd, is my shepherd. Now let me tell you something about David. You want to talk about honor? At this point, when he writes Psalms 22 and he writes 23, let me tell you what his life was about. He was at this moment now the King of Kings. He was the King of Israel. All the nations around him, they feared his army. Go read it. They feared him. They knew who this God was. They knew who David was. He was in complete control of the economy. He was in complete control of the military. He was in complete control of the social network life of the entire country. He had absolute authority in the nation of Israel. And he didn't rule by committee. He was the king. And that king, he says this, the Lord is my shepherd. So if you say yes to that question today, I am a sheep. If you say yes, then we can move on to the second question. Do you say yes today? Lord, the second question is, then who is my shepherd? Who is it that you want to be your shepherd? Who is it that I want to be my shepherd? What kind of shepherd would I choose, right, for myself? In other words, you're given the opportunity right now to think in your mind, who do you want your shepherd to be? Well, look at Psalms 20. And we can see this. David is now writing this in Psalms 20. You can see that there's a wrestling match going on in David's heart as he's writing this psalm. He's wrestling with the idea of who he trusts and who he worships. Verse 6 of Psalm chapter 20. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. And listen to what he says. I love this part. He says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. And by the way, David had thousands of chariots. David had tens of thousands of horses, right? Like you and I saying that we have vast amounts of real estate. We got a bank account that's full of money. We've got everything we need. All the resources are at our hand. We've got everything we want. You can put your trust there if you want. But David says, he says this, but I don't put my trust in chariots or in horses. He says, I don't put my trust in real estate. I don't put my trust in the bottom line. I don't put my trust in my 401k plan. I don't put my trust in my retirement account. Here's a good one. I don't even put my trust in my trust fund. Why do you think they call it a trust fund? Think about it. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. David says, I trust in the Lord. This wrestling match that David has, he has it, but he comes to this understanding of who he is and who his shepherd is. So when he gets to the 23rd Psalms, he says, I don't trust in my chariots, I don't trust in my horses, but I trust in the true God who is eternal, our God who is eternal. He's the beginning, He is the end, He's the same yesterday, today. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He never changes. And that's who I trust. So if you could choose a shepherd, right, who would you choose? If you could write a job description, let's put it in today's term. If I could write a job description for my shepherd, the shepherd of my choosing, the shepherd of my soul, what would I write? Well, let's turn to John chapter 10 because Jesus Christ has already done that for you and me. Jesus Christ, He wrote that job description. He wrote it out very plainly about who He is as a shepherd. John chapter 10 verse 11. And these are Jesus' own words. He says, I am the good shepherd. And right before this, we know John 10:10, he describes who the enemy is, who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he says the enemy comes to do. But then he says here, he says, I am the good shepherd, because he has come to give life. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Remember we said before that when the shepherd calls, the sheep come. But yet the shepherd is willing to lay down his life. He who is a hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own knows me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Now he's talking about the Gentiles here, right? First he's talking to the Jews. Now he's talking about the Gentiles, which are most of us here today. And I thank the Lord he came for us as well. He says, this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. What a great shepherd. You know, he paid a costly price. You know, we're the most expensive sheep out there. I mean, you can go to the sale down south, you can buy sheep, and they sell them by the pound. But Jesus Christ paid the greatest price. You and I, we are the most expensive sheep ever bought. Think about it. If you ever think if you don't have value to your life, if you call yourself a sheep, you got to know this, that you came at a high price. You were expensive. It was he gave his life. He laid down his life for you and he laid down his life for me. When David wrote those first five words, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He was saying something very profound. You understand the word Lord in Hebrew is what? It's Yahweh. And that word could not even be uttered from the mouth. That word Yahweh in the Hebrew, they could not even say it because it was too holy to say. I am not worthy to say the word Yahweh, but when David writes this and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he's saying something profound. He is saying that the Most Holy One, the Creator of the universe, the great God in heaven, whose name I cannot even utter out of my mouth because it is too holy, he is my shepherd. I choose him as my shepherd. The Bible tells us that before I chose him, he chose me. Before we chose him, he chose me. He knew me. He knew me before I was even knit in my mother's womb. And all we have to do today is admit that we are sheep and ask him to be our shepherd. So here's the two questions today. Now listen, you're probably saying, well, Pastor, that's a pretty simple message, right? That's pretty simple. It is. It is pretty simple. Are we sheep? And who is our shepherd? How simple can that be? But here's what happens. Is our life gets complicated. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And not every single time when he comes in to kill and steal and destroy is he actually taking physically from you. Because sometimes he wants to cause division. Sometimes he wants you to think that you can do everything on your own. How many of you ever tried to do something on your own and failed at it? Right? Let me raise my hand once, twice, right? I have tried over and over and over doing things on my own and failed. So yes, it sounds simple. Yeah, I'm a sheep. Okay, yeah, I'm that dumb, stupid animal that needs all. That's who Christ wants us to be. He wants our complete dependency upon him. And he wants to be our shepherd. So yes, it's a simple message. But if we don't grab a hold to this, because if we read the Psalms and we go look through line by line by line, there are some profound truths in the 23rd Psalm. There are some promises that he has given you and me. There's these attributes about God and who he is that will change our life. But if we don't walk into that with the lens knowing that who we are, that we have surrendered ourselves as sheep unto the great shepherd, we're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. You're not going to grab it. It's not going to penetrate your heart. So would you stand with me this morning? Are you a sheep? What are you relying on? When times get tough, are you going to other people? Are you going to your title, your job, your finances? Maybe it's a substance for comfort. You know what I'm talking about. Because when we turn, whoever we turn to, whatever we turn to for comfort in a time of need, that's who our shepherd is. Right? Yeah, it was a simple message this morning, but I hope that we get in our hearts. I'm going to ask our pastoral care team, our prayer warriors to come. And they're going to come here in the front. And I'm just going to open this up now that maybe you're saying, hey, I'm not real sure. I think I'm a sheep. I think so, but I'm not real sure. I think the Lord is my shepherd. I think He is, but I'm not real sure. I want to give you an opportunity to come and to pray. We always need someone to pray with us, right? We can always go before the Lord and pray. He hears our prayers. But sometimes it's great to be able to come and have someone else pray for us. Maybe you're here today, and as always, I always want to make sure I open the altar up for any kind of prayer you need. But before we do that, this whole idea of sheep and shepherd, as followers of Christ, we now know who we are. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I'm not a follower of Christ. I don't think I'm a sheep. What do I do? I want you to pray this prayer with me this morning. I just want to pray a prayer. Say, Lord, I commit myself to You as the great shepherd. Lord, I am Your sheep. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave His life for me. He died upon that cross and was resurrected again on the third day. And now He sits in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding on my behalf. I accept Him as the Lord and Savior of my life, to live within my heart, to lead me and to guide me. Because when that great shepherd calls and I am His sheep, I will hear His voice and I will follow.